SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com. Can adjust these dials. There we go. A little better. And got a sequence at Aqueduct today. You're listening just now to the replay. And of course, we talked about it with Seth Merrow, and I'm trying to make some final decisions here, and it's been a little trickier even than I thought. Andy touched on it, of course, on Tuesday, and then Seth ran through, and I actually agreed with Seth on a couple of ideas, including 6-1 Iona Moby in the second leg, that maiden special weight. But this is, you know, even with moderate-sized fields through the first two-thirds, you got 7 and 7 and 6 and 8, and then 8 again, and then 9 betting interests in the nightcap. Actually, there's going to be a scratch, so that'll be 8. The field size, really not, you know, everybody, oh, we want big fields. Yeah, okay. Certain opportunities, yeah, you definitely. Horses get lost on the board. But boy, there's not a lot of help, including in that tricky 40,000 non-2, six-horse field. And I don't know. I'm probably going to go 2 A's, 2 B's, and 2 C's. And I not an easy race to eliminate anybody, including the first off the claim, Alley to Cavalry. Bruce Levine turning back the Flower Alley that he took from Joe Distrito. Uncle Joe. Hey, Mo. I really, not a lot of pace in here either. Science fiction's got a little bit of a pace edge. I thought maybe the, as I mentioned yesterday to Seth, the Kelly Breen, George Hall, Sweet Like Char. If she runs back to that race 2 back, that'll work. This is very tough. Free Kitty's going to get a nice suck-along trip inside. Party in the Sand, Charlie Baker. This is a six-horse field, and it is tough to eliminate. Forever Dave Donk, you always respect, but I don't know. I thought this sequence has been a lot tougher than I expected when I went to write it up. And so I still got a couple of little short strokes, and we'll wait for scratches around 11. And actually reached out. Maybe we'll get Mike Beer in here and get Mike's ideas too. See what Beer thinks, ideally, and we'll make some final determinations and make some plays. You got there should be a nice pair of pools in here. The pick six had 26,000 in the carryover, so figure in 3 days, but figure 100, probably about 100 and maybe another 150,000 goes into it. So you know, a little under 200,000, and then the Naira Betts pick five, that'll get another 150,000 or so more, probably 200,000 or better. So two nice opportunities if you're a old-fashioned $2 pick six players and 50-cent variety. Here's your nice way to wade into the week. Maybe you waded into the week yesterday at Gulfstream. And if you happen to be the individual, there's another takedown of the jackpot pool. And good. If they, you know, when they stay around this size, it's a little bit more palatable. But 189,000 yesterday. And it's funny because Tina and I were having a kind of an early-ish dinner. And we went up to Glens Falls, actually, and stopped at Talk of the Town. Had wings and pizza at Talk of the Town. And we're watching, you know, the late action from Gulfstream. And here came the maiden claiming Nightcap. And there were three horses live to take it down. And it was funny. There was an older woman at the bar. And we ate at the bar. And her name was Louise. And so she picked the four horse. And she didn't really know the details, but she said, I'll take the four. And Jeff, the bartender, said, I'll take the three. Well, the four, in fact, feature creature, Steve Claseris, a horse he owns with Jay Young, and Johnny V. And I was kind of watching, you know, knowing that the four was one of the horses that took down the pool. I was kind of watching feature creature, and Johnny tucked in behind the speed, and coming off the turn, absolutely looked like the right horse and the horse with the most going for her. And she powered by and won by a couple of lengths. And you know, for those that, you know, for the people or the person that had the four and a couple of others, that there were seven tickets apparently live. And I think the four, the seven, and the nine, I think. But feature creature was 5-1 and was the third choice. So if you were rooting, because the two ended up second in here, and the 10, maybe the 10, no, the 10 was not covered at all. Absolutely not. 31-1 Glory Roll, who was up a part of the pace and actually ran a very nice race at that price and was claimed by Michael Dubb. But bottom line, 189,000 taken down, and I haven't seen any details as to who the party was. But to get to that point, for there to be horses and tickets live, there were a couple of spots that were very tough, and that was the opening leg, where you had a 43-1 winner. And one thing about this kind of horse, this is bad to the core. Antonio Seno, a horse that he owns, was bred in France, Le Havre gelding, 3-year-old, making a first start. And it's amazing when you look at a chart. These were maiden 20s. You look at a chart, and every horse in the field had started. The winner has that blank space on the chart as to last race, last out. None. And one of those maxims that, you know, you look at a lower level claiming maiden claimer, and you want to look to the lightly raced horses, the horses that have not yet, you know, shown that they're just not going to win, or that they're going to take a long time to win. And boy, bad to the core came from way back, came from last early, and had a nice steady advance to get to the leader, who was the favorite at even money. So this whole thing basically hinged on, you know, and you say to yourself, well, how does somebody come up with that horse? It's not hard to come up with a horse in a maiden 20 when it's the first-time starter versus a bunch of suspects. That you know, that's one of the you know, steady and dependable approaches. So the winner of the whole jackpot, they started out and they had to feel good. I mean, you cash an $89 winner and you got to feel good. And if you included the horse, you certainly would have maybe done some other things with this gelding. Then the other horse, after an even money winner for Phil Serpy and Wellspring, one of their homebreds, the More Than Ready filly, Jordy's Ready, won a low-level claimer. You had a maiden special, $27 winner. So halfway through that pick six, and you had you had two big prices, and this was Cassie with Julien Leperoux, and wire to wire, and Leperoux very good on these front end horses. And then after that, you had two short prices, second choice wins for Victor Barboza, and then Jonathan Thomas and Aaron Wellman, the Eclipse team. Escapade won the feature, turf sprint, an exciting three horse finish on the favorite. Escapade, and that got you to that nightcap. And so there's the anatomy of a $190,000 score. And the jackpot, not my favorite concept. But if it's like this and it gets right now, it's being hit on a pretty regular basis at Gulfstream. Which is healthier. Rather than keeping that money hostage for extended periods of time. It's just such a strange phenomenon that has occurred. California right now, the thing continues to build. So, I don't know. Not a fan. Well, we've debated it for years now at this point. There's plenty of serious players who they're happy to go for the day-to-day prize. Our late friend, Chester Arthur Hancock, Chet Hancock. Chet had he and his buddies, they each put up, 100 each, 150 each. And they were happy to go for the daily prize. And they didn't, they weren't even thinking about the jackpot portion. And these are serious players. Chet was one of a kind. Chet would set himself up, set up shop, and he'd bet early, bet often, and after the afternoon action, he moved to the evening action. He'd move to South America. Taught me how to play the South American feed. Chili. That's how we did. Chet taught us how to play. Johnny D. And by the way, knock on wood, Johnny's been dealing with a health thing, and because we haven't heard from him, and I think Monday we'll get him home. We'll get him back. He himself is home after a hospital stay. So those who've been wondering, and I have had inquiries, where's Johnny? Johnny okay? Johnny on the mend. So, happy about that. We're going to check in this hour, going after Nicole Russo, and get some more sale results. Another good day. Another good day at the Keeneland sale. Today's the last day. And then the focus will shift to OBS in 2 weeks. 2 weeks? Whatever, the end of the month. The Tuesday, Wednesday, 29th, 30th. OBS with their winter mixed sale. The other visit today, first hour, Brian Bouye! Bouye! Brian's got, as a kid, early on, until the expression, I got to ask him that. When the expression "booyah," when that popped, right? That became a catchphrase. What's his name? Brian's going to join us after this break right now, and we never talked last year about the Foal Patrol concept that was a huge hit, and it's launched already. They've got the cameras set up in a bunch of stalls around Kentucky and elsewhere, New York, and you can check in on your favorite pregnant mare. And you can watch when the foal drops. It's like the ball dropped from from Times Square. Tony Blacklater and Steve Haskin and Rich Eng and more. Thursday at the races, back after this.
latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda.
The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary.
Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hyas, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hyas.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
That's pretty funny. That's the first time I've heard it. It's like a record skipping. Oh my God, that was great, Case. has anybody seen? I saw it on Facebook. There's a very that's made me think of this. There's one of those kids react videos where they show, you know, sometimes they show, you know, kids movies, old movies or whatever, or, you know, kids of a certain age, and they've got one of kids like 8 to 10, 11, showing them a record player for the first time. It's pretty funny. And they're like, oh, my God, oh, my God. They're like, what is that? That's great. They've never seen a record player before. Casey can tell you. The real thing is coming back in a big way, right? Vinyl's making Casey says he just saw one, too, of a kid shown a rotary phone for the first time. It's unbelievable. I love it. Well, one thing that some people are probably seeing for the first time last year, or maybe they've already seen it for season two, is the Hall of Fame, the museum, their full patrol. And this was such a cool concept, and it got a mammoth response, and it built momentum as the breeding season was underway. We didn't get a chance to talk about it last year. It's been well expanded, and nine different cams are set up, and not just for in full mares either. Brian Bouye joins us from the museum and the Hall of Fame. Brian, happy New Year.
To you as well, Steve. How you doing?
Excellent. And I wanted to make sure we got out in front of this year. I mean, I mentioned it in passing last winter, and it was such a hit. And let's explain what it is for those who are hearing about it for the first time. And I'm anxious to hear the origins and who conceived it. And then let's talk about the execution. Talk about full patrol.
Sure. John Hendrickson came on board as our museum president last year, and everybody in sport's familiar with him. He's Mary Lou Whitney's husband and leads her racing stable with her. And John's an innovative guy. He's got a lot of ideas. And, one of the first things he was talking about was he got enamored with, if you remember a couple years ago, that April the Giraffe. The people were watching and waiting and waiting and waiting. And, he couldn't believe that there were all these millions of people following this on a daily basis. And he thought to himself, if people would sit there and watch a giraffe just do nothing for months, why don't we do this with thoroughbred mares? And people fall in love when they see horses and they see a foal being born. And he thought, let's give people in the sport an opportunity to see a side of the sport that they don't get an opportunity to get an inside view of very often. People go to the track and, they see the horses there, but, we want to give them an opportunity to, see some mares in their natural environment and learn about the process of breeding and, what goes into it, how the owners select their matings with the stallions, what kind of vet care goes into it, nutrition, exercise, just make it a program that people can learn from, but also, just watch, life being born and the opportunity to, see these horses in the paddocks on their beautiful farms in Kentucky and New York and Florida. So, we thought it would be something that people would, gravitate toward, and they really did. I mean, we had more than 1.6 million viewers for this last year. And these were different viewers, not just multiple repeats. We had 1.6 million unique views, and that was in less than a year. So it really took off, and it was so popular we decided we had to do it for a second year. So we got a whole bunch of new mares, and we were fortunate that Darley wanted to come on board and bring Frosted on to kind of show a different aspect of it, to give a little bit of a life of a stallion. So Frost is on board this year, and he was obviously such a hugely popular runner and just an absolutely beautiful horse. So to have him on board and to partner with Godolphin and all of their children's content, we just think it's a winner, and we're really thrilled that we've been able to bring this to the people.
It was a terrific idea, and John, of course, at the end of last summer's Saratoga season, and as part of the ongoing work at the museum and the hall, the initiative for more interactivity and a redesign, and we can talk about that too, actually. But this, this was something that was basically easy to employ and to create, and then wrapping around all the other elements, and you can see this is perfect. The halls of fame very often are trying to engage the fan base, and this was just an absolute home run. And then the execution, as you mentioned, it's not at this point like you have to bang on doors and try to coerce people. You had people come to you.
We had such amazing response the first year. We reached out to a bunch of farms, and of course, a few of them were skeptical. What is this? What are you doing? And once we explained the concept, and the popularity. I mean, we had some major farms get involved with this last year. When you get Gainesway and Claiborne and Three Chimneys and places like that, these are some of the best of the best. And when they're willing to put their name behind it and their resources, You know, it just shows to the quality of, you know, what people are trying to do. We're trying to engage people in the sport. And, you know, we didn't have any shortage of farms that wanted to get involved with it this year when they saw the value of it. So we had a lot of support. We had a lot of help with this. The Jockey Club designed the website for us. Their technical crew, led by Harold Palmer, you know, really has stepped up and gone above and beyond to help us with functionality and everything. G.D. Hieronymus at Keeneland has been a big help. And David Humphreys at New World Resources down in Kentucky has been big as far as helping us with the technical aspects and the cameras. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into this behind the scenes to get it up there. And, you know, we've had a lot of help with this.
One of the things, and, you know, not only can everybody latch on to the new, you know, the new group, the nine, the eight mares and Frosted, but you can also go back and review last year's group. And one of the funny things, of course, about foals, we discuss foaling and pregnancies with Dr. Allday and have for many years. And there's a few unusual elements, and that is that they very often will foal and drop at night and late at night, and particularly later in the year, they'll drop during thunderstorms when there's been barometric pressure changes. And it's one of the oddities of tracking foaling. And when you look through the list of the eight mares, and when they delivered, almost all of them delivered either at night or in the a.m. hours. There were a couple of convenient drops. There was one 5 o'clock in the afternoon and one at 8 o'clock at night. But for the most part, you had to be on evening vigil when they were getting close.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the great things about this is, you know, people were saying, well, when is it going to happen? I don't know if I could, you know, follow it or whatever. But we gave people the opportunity to sign up for text alerts. So, you know, if we would get the word from the farm that, hey, it's going to happen within the next day or so, we'd give people a text and they'd be able to follow along. I mean, we have, you know, kind of standard viewing hours now, but once we get the word from the farms that it's getting close, we extend the viewing hours to around the clock. And, you know, it was amazing when you see some of these things blowing up on social media, you know, 2-3 in the morning, you know, people following this stuff. And I'm like, who's up at this time? But people really were, you know, following along and, you know, just kind of getting so involved with this. So it was great to see, you know, but you're right. It was some odd schedules and, you know, it was amazing with the timing. But, yeah, a lot of neat factors into that.
Let's go through and give everybody an idea. You know, last year you very cleverly and successfully garnered some high-profile types, and that included La Verdad and Birdtown and Stop Charging Maria, Center Court. I mean, these were multiple stakes-winning mares that were involved, and so having some star power. And, you know, then the benefit, of course, of the, you know, year two, you basically are going to make some of these mares stars. They might not be, you know, as familiar from their racing careers, but hit the highlights on who's involved this year.
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, like you said, I mean, we had some big star power last year, no doubt about it. And, you know, some of these horses this year aren't as well known. I mean, Love and Pride was a multiple stakes winner, so she's on there.
Yeah.
You know, but Frivolous was a very good mare. But a couple of the others, you know, Silver Colors and Viva Sheila, you know, you probably never heard of them. They weren't, you know, big race mares, but, you know, they got on board in this. We let the owners, you know, obviously they're involved with us, and they have the say of, you know, who they'd like to feature. And they all kind of had their different reasons why, depending on, you know, who the stallion was that they bred to. So, you know, these are going to be horses that people are going to kind of, you know, fall in love with for their own different reasons. So Last of the Mohegans was, you know, purchased by Roy and Gretchen Jackson, and they've got very high hopes for her as a brood mare. So they had, you know, their choice of who they wanted to have participate. So it's, you know, it was up to the owners. But we thought, you know, obviously the big star power this year everybody's going to be gravitating toward is certainly having the stallion on board, Frosted. And, you know, as you know, he's been one of the most popular horses over the last several years. And, you know, he's got his own social media following, which is huge. I mean, they did a video. They had one video that Darley posted of him last year. I think it was Frolicking in the Snow that had over 3 million views. You know, so he's, you know, he's our big star power this year. But each of these horses has, you know, their own unique story, and, you know, with the connections and the farm that they're at and everything. So while they might not be, you know, Birdtown, you know, a major record-breaking Kentucky Oaks winner or the likes of Stop Charging Maria, these horses all have their great stories this year.
For now, for the most part. And, of course, the foaling dates, the due dates are listed, and they pretty much start in February and will probably, you know, go into late April and even early May. You know, sometimes the first, if there's a first cover in there, they have a tendency to, you know, go beyond their due date sometimes. But right now, most of the cameras are trained out in paddocks, you know, because you get a chance to see the pregnant mares that are turned out, and so you can tune in for that. And of course, Brian, the biggest element of this, particularly if it was able to bring in some eyes that ordinarily aren't paying attention to thoroughbred racing, the idea here is that they're going to take an interest in the offspring. And the mares' careers as broodmares, and start to follow, and then you get them, you know, you get them to tune in, you get them to come to the racetrack, you get them to wager. I mean, this is a real seed plant initiative that, you know, that is cost effective and innocent looking, but can pay off long term, and that's what is so frankly exciting about the concept and the execution. This was really well done.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was one of the big things we talked about is, you know, what kind of audience we want to bring in. And obviously, you know, in racing, we want as many fans and as many different age groups and backgrounds as we can get. I mean, we want to share this sport with everybody. But, you know, obviously, like you said, planting the seed, you know, we want to get children to learn about this sport and younger people. And, you know, to that end, we've had a couple of events here at the museum where we've celebrated the launches of each of the seasons. And we've had a coloring book for children that was artwork done, you know, drawings by Sharon Crute, the Saratoga artist, and you know, we gave these out to all the children and had them come and learn about the foals through the iPads that we've got set up at the museum. So, you know, family-friendly activities, learning about horses and horse care and mares and breeding, and, you know, the parents, a lot of them, you know, say, well, I love to go to the racetrack, but, you know, my kids, they don't really get it or something. But when they get to see these mares and see the interactions with them on the farm, you know, they're seeing a different aspect of it. They're getting a different appreciation. And, you know, hopefully we're building fans that way.
Absolutely. And who's, in terms of the, you know, the support, who needs to be credited here? Because I'm sure that, you know, there's a lot of people to thank.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, like I said, this started with John Hendrickson, and he funded the first season of this. I mean, nice. There was a lot of costs involved, and, you know, John and Mary Lou, you know, they stepped up and said, look, we didn't want this to be a burden on the museum. But, you know, the farms, after the first year, you know, they're all helping with the costs. So, you know, when you look at Darley, an Old Tavern Farm, and Three Chimneys, Addition Farm, Double Diamond in Florida, you know, Claiborne, Denali Stud, Shawnee Farm, Gainesway. I mean, they've all stepped up with support, and they've, you know, basically invited us into their homes to learn about these mares and the process that goes into the care and breeding of them. So they've stepped up financially and also, you know, from a perspective of, you know, having their staff being involved. So, you know, we've got a new person at the museum this year, Shalene Landry, who's kind of overseeing this project, has done a great job coordinating everything with the farm. So it's been a collective effort. And, you know, like I said before, the Jockey Club and Keeneland Broadcast, it's really taken, you know, the support of the industry to make this happen. So it's, while it's got the museum, you know, name behind it, and, you know, that's where it kind of originated, it's been an industry-wide thing to make this a success.
Well, it's very easy. Foalpatrol.com. You can sign up for the text alerts or the email alerts and track it and go and visit as often as possible. It's freestanding from the Racing Museum Hall of Fame website, but you can get to it through the Hall of Fame site as well. But foalpatrol.com, and make a bookmark. Brian, let's, while we got you, it's the beginning of the year. Give us an update. That there's been just a steady parade of announcements from the hall and the redesign and the renovation work, and, you know, some of the other things, the brick sale that created the courtyard, and give everybody a snapshot of what lies ahead in 2019 at the hall.
Yeah, we've got so much going on. I mean, I started here, Steve, in 2010, and this is the most vibrant and active time that the museum has had since I joined. Just so many things going on. Like you mentioned, our big project that we're working on is by the summer of 2020, the Hall of Fame is going to be completely redesigned. It's going to be an entirely new experience. We've started a $20 million campaign that we're well on our way toward. There's going to be a new signature film there that's going to be interactive, and it's I can't give away too many of the details because it's going to just be mind-blowing when we debut it, but the Hall of Fame itself is going to be all interactive. All the plaques that are in there are going to be replaced with digital versions. Everything's going to be updated. It's just going to be a completely new experience where visitors can learn so much more about the Hall of Fame members and what it takes to become a Hall of Famer. So that's a huge thing. As you mentioned, we've got our courtyard where we're going to start brick sales again, where people can purchase bricks and honor farms, friends, family, lovers of the sport. It's been a great fundraiser for us in the past, but the courtyard is completely redesigned. All of our galleries over the next year or two are going to be updated and refreshed. We really want, when the new Hall of Fame opens in 2020, to be a refreshed sort of living museum and just add a lot of vibrancy to the community here in Saratoga Springs and to the sport as a whole. So a lot of different things going on, and you're a Hall of Fame voter, so you'll be getting an email from me soon to kind of kickstart that process. And the 2019 election will just be around the corner, and looking forward to this year's Hall of Famers and everything. So we got a million things going on, but we're having a lot of fun here.
Well, the interactive and the digital plaque, the digital identification of Hall of Fame inductees, particularly the trainers and the jocks, it makes perfect sense because they cast these. Unlike virtually every other sport, I guess hockey. I think not hockey. Golf and tennis, they get inductees, well before their retirements. When you reach a certain, in golf, I think, you win 30 tour events, and I think you're eligible, or I forget what the number is, but our sport is unusual in that there's inductees that then go another 25, 30 years amassing, right?
It's very unique, and people ask us why we do that, and I said, well, think about it, look at the career a guy like Dwayne Lucas has had. It would have been a shame if we had to wait until he decided to retire, if he ever does, to honor him. Alan Jerkins had been in the Hall of Fame 35 years, before he passed away. And, a lot of the trainers don't retire, the jockeys. I mean, you still see, Mike Smith still going strong in his 50s. Gary Stevens just finally retired. These people have the accomplishments of Hall of Famers. So it's, kind of unique that we were able to do this. But I think it brings a lot of credibility to the sport that we were able to honor these people while they're still active and can appreciate it. But it was problematic in a lot of ways because, we cast these plaques, and the plaques basically have the achievements of what got them into the Hall of Fame. But Mike Smith, if he comes in the museum and looks at his plaque, it doesn't have anything about Zenyatta. It doesn't have anything about him winning the Triple Crown. So this interactive will be able to be updated all the time. Equibase has said they're going to lend us their support. So if you want to go on this plaque and punch up the entries and see where Javier Castellano or Johnny V's racing one day, or see something along those lines, or see who Rich Mandela's got in at Del Mar that day, you're going to be able to do that. So we really want it to be interactive and something that people can dive into these careers. We want to show key race videos and interviews and everything. So it's a big process, and we think it's going to be a lot of fun, and we think it's going to be a big hit for the industry.
Well, as always, my pleasure to shine the spotlight on the hall and the museum, which really you don't have to, if you're a racing fan, it's not like you have to make an unusual pilgrimage to a place like Cooperstown, where you have to make a special effort, or to Akron, Ohio, or some other obscurity, or passing down 91 in Springfield, Mass. Anybody that comes to Saratoga to see the racing, it's right there across the street, and so much a part of the of the vibrant summer season, but open year round too, and And anybody that has a reason and has opportunity to come to Saratoga, you can get to the hall, and you'll enjoy it immensely in its current form, and then even more as this evolution continues. Brian, FullPatrol.com for everybody. I'm sending up the link on Twitter and the NMRHOF to follow the Museum Hall Twitter feed. And Brian, as always, appreciate it. Hope it's a tremendous new year.
Thanks for having me on, Steve. I really appreciate it.
Not at all. Brian Bouye, everybody, who's been really active and involved out communicating with the fan base and the industry for the hall and the museum. And I hadn't thought about it, but I guess we will get ready for another round of potential Hall of Fame inductees and nominees. So we'll see what the committee came up with when that time comes. And of course, we've got a few horses and humans that we kind of bang the drum for each year, the last several years. Greg Perrett, number one on that list. Tony Black later. We'll ask, and of course Tony with My Juliet. We got to rely on the Veterans Committee on that front, but those are the two House candidates, My Juliet and Greg Barrett. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. I didn't give you the details from yesterday's session at Keeneland, but it was another good one, and things close out today. We'll get Nicole Russo's first visit of 2019. We'll get her thoughts on what's been transpiring these first 3 days and any trends that she's noticing, particularly on the first crop sires who have got their short yearlings going through the ring. We'll say Happy New Year to Nicole Russo. Next, later, Tony and Haskin and Eng and more at the races. Sirius XM, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sportsform Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sportsform delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the sun on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
This is a house that Jack built, y'all. Remember this house. This was the land that he worked by hand. It was the dream of an upright man. There was a room that was filled with love. It was a love that I was proud of. This is the life that he planned. All the love, the same old love. In the house that Jack built.
The house that Jack built.
Remember this house.
We're back at the races.
There was a fence that held our love.
About 15 or so to the top of the hour. Happy to get a chance to get our first visit of 2019 in with Nicole Russo. And Nicole, of course, covering the sales and breeding side of things at the Daily Racing Form. Nicole, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Steve. Good morning.
Good morning. And we are following the action at Keeneland, of course, first sale of the year. In many ways, really kind of the back end of the bloodstock action that starts in November, and gives some outfits a little more time to make decisions about retiring mares or offering some up as broodmare or racing prospects. And of course, having a star like Abel Tasman at the front of the train didn't hurt at all this particular set of sessions.
Oh, absolutely. Abel Tasman, as you mentioned, sold to Coolmore for $5 million in Monday's opening session. That actually ties the record price at Keeneland January that was established back in 2000. Obviously her up front fueling the figures, but I think it's been a really strong market throughout the sale as well. When you look at the number of horses, sold for $500,000 and up, sold for $250,000 and up, there's a lot of competitive action behind that star leading the way, and all of the economic indicators, improved across the board. Keeneland headed for a strong finish today in the final session of the January sale. And, I think one of the most interesting things here is a really significantly improved buyback rate each day of the sale so far. The opening day of the sale, last year the buyback rate checked in at 39%. This year, I think a very realistic 29%, in what is still a selective market. But I think the improved buyback rate not only speaks to an improving market, I think it speaks to, as you mentioned, we're kind of on the back end of this mixed sale season, breeding season just around the corner, beginning about a month from now. And really, if you're looking to kind of, restock your broodmare band, these are your final opportunities. So I think it speaks to that sense of urgency as well.
These sales, and we'll obviously continue into the winter mix sale at OBS at the end of the month, and then Phasic Tipton takes its turn with the February sale, which is always kind of a fun, eclectic group of horses. And the rush of stallions, the number of new stallions, Nicole, that join what has been a steady retirement drumbeat parade, actually, the last couple of years, everybody that is going to support those stallions, the operations, they've got to get brood mares. I mean, they've got to stock the shelves with the mares to cover. And so you would expect that, that this is going to be, a high demand yet. And then people that are watching, if you're watching the claiming ranks, you will see, I imagine here over the next 60 days, 60 to 90 days, there'll be a steady supply of mares plucked out of claiming races that, have pages that are good enough to support this huge group of incoming stallions.
Oh, definitely. I think it's a really strong incoming stallion class. And, you're talking about that activity where you look at the leaderboard at Keeneland January right here. Obviously starting with Abel Tasman, Coolmore purchased her. She will go to a Coolmore stallion. They haven't quite settled on one yet for her, but obviously, they did mention the likes of Justify in the mix for her, or American Pharoah. Coolmore obviously standing both of those Triple Crown winners. Windstar Farm with a couple of purchases in the top 20 here at the sale. including multiple graded winner House Rules, who they purchased for $750,000 on Tuesday. You know, she'll also go to a Windstar Stallion, who, you know, who that is yet to be decided. But Windstar, obviously, with a couple of new stallions this year in Always Dreaming and Good Samaritan. Riley McDonald of Eaton Sales purchased the nice young mare Sweet Dreams the other day, and he says that she is ticketed for Justify. Spencer Farm has purchased a couple of mares. You know, they have their, they have, you know, a nice handful of four new stallions coming in. So, you know, as you said, people making moves to support these young stallions.
You know, and just a hint on those, we'll circle back to the sale in a minute. And I think what I'm looking at, you guys prepared at DRF back at the beginning of December, and there's even been other retirement announcements since. But you know, looking at Kentucky, Accelerate, Always Dreaming, Army Mule, B Jersey, Bolt Doro, City of Light, Cloud Computing, Collected, Free Drop Billy, Fantastic, Good Magic, Good Samaritan, Justify, McCracken, Mendelssohn, Motown, More Spirit, Oscar Performance, Ransom the Moon, Sharp Azteca, Tale of Verve, Taprit, and West Coast. That's just Kentucky.
Yeah. It's, yeah. It's a really interesting lineup this year. And, you know, I know that Justify and Mendelssohn over at Coolmore of Ashford Stud, their representatives have said that they're both, you know, pretty much booked full. And, of course, I'm very interested to see, you know, the books that they get. Justify, obviously. I mean, what else can you say about him? But it's, Mendelssohn is a really interesting prospect to me. Obviously, just genetically, he is a perfect stallion prospect, being, you know, by, you know, the late Scat Daddy, who Coolmore is trying to secure his legacy, and being a half brother to a leading sire and Into Mischief, you know, as well as others. You know, Mendelssohn, I'm very interested to see the support that he gets over at Ashford.
I'm going to also include in this discussion a little bit some of the regional new stallions. And City of Light is going to be at Lane's End for $35,000. For those that are, you know, that are on the East Coast, I'm going to suggest Frank Conversation, who's going to be standing at Rock Ridge here in New York for $5,000 and was a versatile, talented racehorse on both surfaces. And I saw somebody asking, you know, what first crop stallions, you know, are you excited about? Frank Conversation, I think has got tremendous potential.
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, you mentioned that versatility that he had. You know, I think that sire line gets you horses on both surfaces. And yeah, very much so. A lot of interesting young stallions incoming to New York this year. Of course, New York will have the Lieutenant, who's the half, the graded winning half brother to Justify entering the stud this year as well.
He's at Sequel, and he's going to stand for $6,500. Destin turns up in New York, too, for those looking for a Giant's Causeway. This is also at Sequel. A couple of other regional names. Irish Warcry. Curlin fans are certainly got to be interested in going to Irish Warcry. He's at Richard Golden's Northview Stallion Station, $6,500. Even, you know, even some of the rather far-flung locales. Indiana, Neck and Neck is going to be there, and Forever Doro as well. And, it, you know, One Mean Man, there's an interesting, I mean, he's going to stand for a ham sandwich. He was a terrific nice horse, terrifically nice, and he's at Swifty Farms. Amise Flatter is going to be at Ocala Stud, along with Awesome Slough. Buchero, people I know are excited about. Beside, we know Tim Gleishaw's excited. Beside Tim.
Buchero, the very interesting thing about him is, you know, his sire, Cantheros, got his stud career started off in Florida and did so well down there that he was, you know, quote-unquote called up, you would say, to Kentucky. So now Buchero coming into Florida as the first son of his sire to go to stud down there, you know, so I do think Buchero will be well supported by that market. You know, Gervin also going to, grade one winner Gervin going to stud in Florida this year, and, you know, one of the more accomplished new stallions retiring, who I think has almost been a little bit forgotten about because he is in a regional market, Opportunity entering stud in Pennsylvania this year. I mean, what a tough racehorse who, you know, retired, you know, sound and, you know, competed at a high level this year, winning the Brooklyn last year and Belmont Day. And what a horse he was.
No doubt. He's at Northview, Pennsylvania's branch. Since we're mentioning some prominent Sibs and the lieutenant, you know, the story of the lieutenant for the Warrens and Michael McCarthy, it took a while for him to really find himself. How about Dolphus standing at Cabin Creek Farm, the Looking at Lucky son that, of course, is the brother of Rachel Alexandra? And you want to get into that family, the Lotta Kim family, here's your chance, $2,500 in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, definitely.
There's a lot going on. California's got seven or eight new stallions, including Prospect Park, the Tappet son, at Harris Farm, and quite a few others. And you hit the Florida side. Who else? Clearly Now, the Horse Greeley son, is going to be at Clear Creek in Louisiana. Tays on Ice, you know, had a nice discussion the other day with, I love it, had a fun conversation with Jinx Fires, and we talked about Arch a little bit, and then of course Next Shares with the win, the Arch son. Well, here's Tays on Ice, that's going to be at Stretch Run in New Mexico. So there's a lot of good bloodstock entering the marketplace, but they're all going to need mares to cover.
Yeah, that's the thing. And, you know, it has been, you know, we talk about every year about the full crop, the mare population. And, you know, I mean, I think the market has largely recovered from the recession of a decade ago now. But, you know, it is still a selective marketplace, a tough marketplace, especially if you're a commercial breeder. So I think it will be interesting to see how these, you know, how this, you know, strong class of incoming stallions kind of splits up the mare population and how these farms make moves to support them, knowing that that's what the scenario is.
Let's talk a little bit, Nicole, about what you've seen from the marketplace and on the ground from the first crop stallions. We've got a little bit more of a read. We had some weanling sales, late last year, and we got a couple of clues. And now it's another, whatever, 60, 90, 120 days later, you know, we're seeing some of the first crop sires, their short yearlings, and how are they changing? What are you noticing from the buyers and from the consigners?
Well, you know, especially as we've moved into, you know, kind of the second and third days of the sale here, where some of these young horses get a chance to stand out, Run Happy, I mean, his first crop has been, so well promoted by Claiborne Farm. And, a couple of his young horses have, you know, fetched solid prices. Emshawish, who is standing at TaylorMade, I think that was an interesting move for them. They've really, built a stallion roster that has some versatility on it. Emshawish, a top performer at a number of venues, on a number of surfaces. One of his first crop, you know, newly turned yearlings, was among the top sellers yesterday. I'm really interested to see what he does as a stallion, because I think he's such a tremendous physical. And really right now, looking to the future with these horses, I mean, yeah, I like what I've seen from his first yearlings. I think, you know, as we start getting into the summer, the July sales, the August sales, that's when we'll really get a chance to tell. One interesting thing looking at the yearling market is, you know, right about now, we've talked so much about this class of freshman sires coming into this year with two-year-olds about to run. American Pharoah, Honor Code, Liam's Map. I mean, that's just scratching the surface. It's such a strong group of freshman sires this year. And, you know, this is the sort of point where you might see the market start to back off a little bit on those horses as we wait to see, you know, what they do in April, in May, as two-year-old racing begins. Because if you buy a yearling now in January by one of those sires with the intent to hook it and the sire doesn't hit, well, you're going to have a hard time getting a return on your investment. But the thing I have seen is that the market here in January really isn't backing off at all on American Pharoah's second crop of yearlings. He had a colt sold for $330,000, in book one here at Keeneland. which is a solid price for a newly turned yearling at this sale, the way the market usually plays at this sale. So I do think that that's interesting that he's a stallion they haven't backed off on at all. At this point, when the market tends to get a little softer for a stallion at this stage of his career.
The multiples that these babies sell is always the for now the measurement. Who's trading above the rim on that front that might be a little surprising.
I'm sorry. I'm drawing a little bit of a blank here. I'm trying to think who's been selling very well. Nyquist and Frosted have continued on well. They were among the leaders with their first weanlings in November. But really, a lot of them, I think the market's kind of taking a wait-and-see approach. I will say among the first stallions with their mares in foal coming here, I think Practical Joke is selling very well for several times above his stud fee.
That's interesting. There's a name that is the first opportunity. I think I saw somebody say something nice about the Classic Empires as well.
Yeah, and Classic Empire. These are his first mares in foal coming up now. We're waiting for his first foals to begin arriving. But I will say I saw Classic Empire the other day out at Ashford Stud when I went out to get a look at their new stallions. And after a year on the farm, Classic Empire, he's really matured. He's really filled out. You're really starting to see, that unbridled line via Pioneer of the Nile come through in him. And I think he's a horse who is very well regarded.
And we should also mention, because it continues to be an evolving story, and that's Empire Maker and his presence again and working his way back into the leaderboards.
Yeah, definitely. You're starting to see more of him in the market, more young horses, more mares in foal, et cetera. Of course, his first return crop to the U.S. that we've talked extensively about, their two-year-olds this year, his first U.S.-sired crop since returning from Japan. So I think he adds a lot of interesting stuff to this marketplace this year. I really do think it's going to be fascinating. We talk so much about the freshman sires and American Pharoah, but looking at that line, Pioneer of the Nile and Empire Maker, well, Pioneer of the Nile theoretically should have one of his best crops of two-year-olds yet this year, because these will be the two-year-olds conceived on the Book of Mares he got after his son American Pharoah won the Triple Crown, a very strong Book of Mares. And by the same token, Empire Maker returning that same year, also getting a strong book. Those are the two-year-olds this year, his first return crop. So I think it's going to be a really interesting dynamic this year, coming up on the two-year-old sales, coming up on the yearling sales results based off early two-year-old racing. I do think that's going to be a fascinating dynamic with that branch of the unbridled line this year.
Well, close it out today, day four of Keeneland, to kick off the year. Then the scene shifts down to the 2 days of the winter mix sale at OBS, and then back to Kentucky for Phasic Tipton and the Kentucky winter sale that has got a lot of racing prospects and a little bit of everything, much like what we're seeing here and what we'll see at OBS. Nicole, any other notes? I want to reiterate to people that you guys had a big end of the year preview of the breeding season that people can download. I always go to it and print out a bunch of pages and use it as a resource every winter. If people haven't visited drf.com, that's a download that everybody can have. You also do the regional storyline, and it's a terrific resource. Really, you can go back to all year long.
Well, thank you so much. We do that new sires insert, obviously, justify the cover boy and kind of the resurgence of the Scat Daddy line, trying to secure that legacy. And, I think that's going to be an interesting thing to look at kind of as we get to the end of the marketplace today. A couple of racing and stallion prospects on offer today to close out the market. We might see a handful more, moves, especially on the regional end, as we're coming up on the start of breeding season next month, Almasty, who is a stakes-performing son of Scat Daddy, in here today toward the end of the session as a race-figure stallion prospect. So I'd be really interested to see, you know, where he might land for the upcoming breeding season.
That's right, you do have those as well. So we'll close out the first sale of the year, Keeneland, today, starting, actually, technically, they should be underway right now, and we're underway with our coverage with Nicole Russo. Nick, I appreciate it. Hope you had a wonderful holiday season, and we'll check in with you as the year goes by. DRF Russo, for those that aren't following Nicole on Twitter, you should be. And, Nick, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Steve.
Nicole Russo, folks, who does a tremendous job. She is the engine on the DRF breeding and sales coverage train. Top of the hour upon us, and when we come back, we'll check in with Tony Black. And Tony has been at that convention out in Harrisburg. So I think he's back. I hope he's back. I touched base with him on Tuesday. And I think I hope it's over. I hope I'm not... Case, I'm not sure. I know one year, last year or the year before, he was still there. So I'm not, we'll see. Try Tony. See what you get. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Yeah, ExpressBet. Give me 12 grand to win on the 9 at Gulfstream. Yeah, that's what I said. 12 grand. 12,000 smackaroos. 12,000...
Mikey! Hang up the phone! You crazy? You can't bet that much.
Quiet, Joey. I'm practicing.
Practicing? Practicing for what? Divorce?
No, I'm practicing my Pegasus Big Bet with my friends at ExpressBet.
Ooh, the contest is back?
And better than ever. All you gotta do is register for free at ExpressBet.com. Then you'll earn entries for every bet you make until January 14th. The more you play, the more chances you have to win.
And you win a $12,000 bet on the Pegasus?
And a VIP trip to Gulfstream with airfare, hotel, tickets, it's all included. Now, if you'll excuse me, I got some more practicing to do.
Yeah.
So, ExpressBet, you still there? Good. Like I was saying,
ExpressBet is the official online wagering partner of the Pegasus World Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to bet today. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel, and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.